Let us pray. O Lord, may the meditations on all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon is based off the gospel reading which we just heard. In that reading, Jesus talks about some particular characters. He talks about hirelings, he talks about sheep, and he talks about wolves. The hireling cares nothing for the sheep. He's in it only for the buck. He doesn't own the sheep. He has no vested interest in the sheep, and therefore it is no surprise that when he sees the wolf coming, he takes off. He abandons the sheep to fend for themselves. The hireling is not a shepherd, and it shows the moment he faces adversity. Another point to mention is, it is interesting to note that when the wolf is coming, note the present tense our Lord uses here, when the wolf is coming, it is the hireling who sees the wolf, not the sheep. And that leads us to a question. Why did not the sheep see the wolf and then take off to avoid being snatched up? Why is it that the hireling sees the wolf but not the sheep? I mean, really, wolves are not difficult to spot. If we saw a wolf in the parking lot, we would know it immediately. They have fur, teeth, claws, keen eyesight, an instinct to kill. They're not difficult animals to point out. The wolves in Scripture, however, are a little different. The wolves in Scripture are not always easy to see until it is too late. And our Lord Jesus warns us of this when he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Matthew 7:15. Please remember this word, friends. The ravenous wolf is a starving creature, craving to sink his teeth deep into the flesh of an unsuspecting sheep. But on the outside, he's cute, cuddly, like an innocent little sheep. You may even want to get close to pet it. You see no harm. You see no danger until he sinks his teeth into you. And then you know this is not a sheep. This is a wolf. This is how the false prophet operates. This is how false teaching works. It looks pleasing to the eye. It sounds so good to the ear, and yet in the end, it contradicts God's holy word, and it only scatters and it devours. This message should have been nothing new to the Israelites in Jesus' day. Go back to Ezekiel and the Old Testament, and there, friend, we hear God say this, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep." So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for wild beasts. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Those verses come to us from Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Israel was a lost nation during the ministry of Ezekiel. They were like sheep, scattered, without a shepherd, and they were devoured by wild beasts. In Jesus' day, much was the same. The Pharisees were religious leaders that the people looked up to. They knew their Old Testament scriptures frontwards and backwards. Even still, Jesus accuses them of practicing their own righteousness, a righteousness apart from God's righteousness. "Let them alone," our Lord says in Matthew 15. "They are blind guides, loving the traditions of men over and above the love and justice of God." Talk about wolves in sheep's clothing. Talk about religious leaders who pretended to know everything while not having a clue as to how the sinner dead in trespasses could be forgiven and inherit eternal life. Jesus' words must have caused division And indeed they did, because in verse 19, friends, the very verse after the end of today's gospel reading, we find this sentence. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" That question continues to come up today. Why listen to him? Why listen to Jesus? The wolf continues to circle the flock of God, looking for a sheep to gobble up. Remember, this wolf that Jesus warns us about, he is ravenous, he's hungry, and he's hidden behind sheep's clothing. He looks cute, he looks cuddly, and the words he says sound so good to the ear. False teaching from the false prophet continues today, friends, to deceive, seduce, and mislead us into asking that question, why listen to him? Why listen to Jesus? There are many doors that get you into eternal life. Pick the door that best suits you. You'll get in just fine. All roads lead to Rome. That's a widespread teaching, but a teaching that boldly contradicts the word of God when Jesus tells us, "I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." John 10:9. That is the promise, friends. The false teacher says, if you sow the right seed, God will give you a prosperous life here on earth. If you have enough faith, you will be healed. All your aches and pains will go away. Or how about this? You have the power on your own to avoid sin and make righteous decisions on your own without the need for a Savior all the time. Let's admit it, friends. These teachings sound pretty good, don't they? I wouldn't mind having a stockpile of money to play with. I think I could handle it, maybe. Maybe not. But whatever, I'd like to give it a try. I'm sure many of you would do the same. Who doesn't want all their aches and pains to go away? It sounds pretty good to be young and healthy again, free from chronic illness, free from disease. And it sounds pretty good to hear that you've got power on your own to make righteous decisions without the help of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, people of God's flock, these teachings sound enticing. They're tempting to go after. But remember our Lord's word. Remember his warning. The starving wolf is in sheep's clothing, and he wants you to get close to him so he can scatter and devour. And he does that with a voice that is not the voice of your good shepherd, Jesus. Our Lord never guaranteed earthly riches in this life. Our Lord never said his people will not suffer in this life. Our Lord Jesus never said the sinner dead in their trespasses has the power to choose his or her way into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the good shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice, and they follow his word. Why? Because, friends, our good shepherd has something to give us that the world cannot give, and that is salvation in his holy name. That is yours because your shepherd gives it to you. And please make no mistake, that is, friends, the greatest gift you could ever receive. In a world of many voices, in a world of many temptations and wolves, there is a voice that continues to speak to us, and it is the voice of our good shepherd. His word has been put into our possession so we can hear our voice and follow him, not the many voices of this world. And what that means is, if you are feeling lost in life, if you are having those days where you have no idea where you are heading, what you need to do is very simple. Listen to the voice of your good shepherd. Hear what he tells you in his sacred word. It is a great source of comfort. Your shepherd, Jesus Christ, promises to never abandon his sheep. Your shepherd, Jesus, does not flee when he sees the wolf coming. He promises to always be with his sheep when you are lost, when you are suffering, when you are facing trials and tribulations. Jesus is with you, his flock, sheep that he owns, sheep that he loves, sheep that he loves so much he laid down his life. You belong to your Lord. He knows you by name. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. And he has redeemed you. That means he has purchased you from death by laying down his life for you, friends. That's the kind of shepherd you worship. That is the God you worship, one who loves you so much that he laid down his life and took it up again in order for there to be one flock under one shepherd. There is one holy Christian, an apostolic church, under our shepherd, Jesus Christ. And the believer is a part of this flock. The believer is part of God's church, not because you've always been an innocent, obedient little sheep. You are part of God's church, not because you deserve to be in the flock of Christ based on your merits and all of your great accomplishments. No. The church of God, his holy flock, is comprised of believers who have been washed and purified by the blood of your shepherd. Jesus laid down his life to atone for the sins of the people in his flock. And God's word reminds us of this when in Acts 20:28, God specifically speaks to pastors and teachers these words: "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained by his own blood." The flock of Christ, his holy church, friends, has been obtained by his own blood. You have been bought, purchased by his holy, precious blood. You belong to your shepherd, Jesus. Hear his voice. Follow his voice. Cling to his word. When the wolf is coming, friends, trust in your Savior Jesus, knowing he does not flee when the wolf approaches. He promises to never abandon his sheep. Rather, he leads them and he guides them into life everlasting, eternal life in his presence. And you feel lost, friends, your shepherd is with you. When the guilt of your sins is hanging on you, weighing you down, your shepherd Jesus Christ laid down his life for your sins. When you are suffering, if you're even dying, don't panic. There's no need to be afraid. You have a shepherd who leads his sheep, who guides his sheep, who died and rose again to save his sheep. And today, friends, his voice speaks. And he tells us these words: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's now rise and sing the offertory.